passage of Scripture tonight is 1 Kings 22, verses 1 through 40. And that's a lot of verses there. And I decided not to read them all in the beginning because I will be reading them throughout the sermon. But I thought I better start with some verse. And the verse that I read this morning, John 15, 26, was the verse that led me to this passage. And so I'll read part of that right now. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. And this morning I spoke about the Spirit of truth. And in the Old Testament, we read about the Spirit being present with the prophets of that day. And the prophets of that day basically had two things they did. They prophesied the future, which was often about our Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And then the second thing they did was they held people accountable for their sins. And maybe this is the first thing, because so often the prophets in the Old Testament were holding people, even kings, accountable for their sin. And Micaiah, who we're considering tonight, was one of those prophets who spoke to King Ahab and held him accountable for his sin. And so the first point, though, tonight is a meeting of kings, unity, and a proposed battle. And we read verses 1 through 4, 1 Kings chapter 22. Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria." So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead?" Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses are your horses." Now, one thing to notice in this passage that I just read was it, there was a kind of peace that was between Israel and Syria at this time. They weren't fighting. There wasn't a war. It says they had 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. And yet there was certain land, Ramoth and Gilead, that Israel, the king Ahab, is saying, that land is ours. And he's, how does he come to this? Well, he has Jehoshaphat, and Judah was one tribe of the 12, but they had their kingdom that was from David and Solomon, and the other tribes, the other 11 tribes, were called Israel. And Ahab was over those at the time, and Jehoshaphat is over Judah, and Jehoshaphat was a good king. As far as God is concerned, as far as not worshiping idols. And Ahab was about as wicked as you could get. And so we have these two kings, but they're unified because Jehoshaphat believes he should be unified with Israel. The 12 tribes he wants together. And so Ahab seems to think all he needs to get this land is Jehoshaphat's help. And he asked Jehoshaphat, you know, will you fight with me? Will you go to this battle with me? And Jehoshaphat says, oh, yes, I will. We are one. We are unified. Even though one man is godly and the other is not. And it's interesting. Psalm 108, 12 and 13 says, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is who shall tread down our enemies. And I bring this up because here's Ahab, a wicked man. He doesn't ask God for his help. He asks Jehoshaphat for his help. He's looking for a bigger army, a stronger army. He's not looking to get right with God. And so that's the first point here. Second point, Jehoshaphat is with Ahab, despite Ahab's immorality, but he wants to pray. He wants to inquire of the Lord. It says, so, verse 4, so he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth-Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses, your horses. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. And so we see Ahab doesn't do that at all. He thinks he just needs more army. But Jehoshaphat says, pray, let's pray, let's pray. And often that's the case when you have a godly person with an ungodly person. And Ahab is surrounded, this is point three, by false lying prophets who only prophesy prosperity despite the king's immorality. Verse 6, it says, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth at Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. 400 worthless prophets. All they want to do is what the king wants to do. Whatever he says goes. And so we not only have a king that is ungodly, but we have prophets here, 400 of them that are totally worthless. And it's sad if you look around, and I'm not saying that's true about ministers today, there might not be a 400-to-1 ratio between good godly ministers and ungodly ministers, but there may be many more than we think, ungodly ministers who just want to say whatever anybody wants to hear. And these were those who only wanted to say what Ahab wanted to hear. Ahab had power, Ahab had money, Ahab would provide for their needs. They weren't thinking God has power, God has money. These were supposed to be God's prophets, and they're supposed to be speaking for God. And they do. The Lord is with you. Well, is the Lord with anybody who is evil or is worshiping false gods? No, he's not. But that's what they say. Jehoshaphat, the godly king, is not impressed or convinced by this quick positive answer. He wants a second opinion. And so Jehoshaphat says, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? You know, Jehoshaphat, he's not too convinced. You know, all these guys just said, hey, Ahab, go up and fight. And Jehoshaphat's not about to get into a war, or he doesn't want to, without a prophet from the Lord. And Ahab, number five, is reluctant to call Micaiah. Verses 8 and 9. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man. Notice there's only one compared to 400 of evil ones. Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may acquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. And so, as I said, notice, observe the ratio of false prophets to true under an immoral rule, 400 false prophets to one true one. Note, under immoral governments, true prophets are hated. Ahab says it right out, I hate him. And I think even when the government doesn't say that, an ungodly government hates godly prophets. And then he's hated because he preaches the truth against sin. It says, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And so it's very straightforward, very simple. He says, I hate him because he's not prophesying what I want him to. And he's pushed to consider Micaiah by the righteous king. And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say such things." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring Micaiah the son of Imlah quickly." In this situation, he's ready to bring Micaiah. Why do you think so? Well, because he wants Jehoshaphat to fight with him. And so he's not really wanting Micaiah to say anything, but Micaiah is the one Jehoshaphat wants to hear, and so let's please the godly man by showing this godly man that we are open to hearing from this one prophet that's negative. Number six, the false prophets put on a show, and they all agree their message is God will bless even when we are wicked. Verses 10 through 12, it says, "The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each one on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Shenaana, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, 'Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed.' And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, 'Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hands.'" Notice what happens here. Here the kings, they're dressed in their royal robes. They are sitting before all the prophets. They recall the 400. They want to hear them again. And they've given them this audience. And Zedekiah, the son of Shenaana, however you say that.
Shenaana.
Like the rock group or whatever. Yeah. So Zedekiah, with no true word from God, puts on this show. He has these horns, and they're steel horns, and he's saying, "This is how King Ahab is going to defeat the enemy." And he says, God told him that. What an imagination. Our wicked imagination. I read a book one time, and we started to read it in, if you remember, in the ladies' group, and he started talking about heaven, and he started about how we should use our imaginations. And more he was getting into imaginations, and we stopped that reading through that book, because imagination is not what the Word of God is about. And this guy saying, "I imagine this," but he's actually saying, "No, it's not my imagination. This is what the Lord told me." And all the prophets said the same thing. They all agreed with this guy. He put on a show, and they all followed him. And we have that going on too today. We have prophets or preachers who will put on a show, and they have the crowd backing them. And they're not trying to please God, but they're trying to please men. And these were aiming to please the king and not God. Note, number seven, note the peer pressure from the false prophets toward Micaiah. Verse 13, it says, "Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, 'Now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement.'" So don't be your old negative self. Don't tell the king he can't win. Go along with the other 400 and tell the king what he wants to hear. And so one prophet or one messenger is telling Micaiah that. But number eight, Micaiah is determined to prophesy what the Lord tells him. Verse 14, it says, "And Micaiah said, 'As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak.'" And there's a true prophet. He's saying, "I'm going to speak whatever the Lord tells me to speak. As your pastor, that's what I want to be. I want to be a man who's only going to speak what the Lord wants me to speak, not something else. And so this is what Micaiah wants to do. Number 9, yet even though this is his plan, it seems he sarcastically goes along with the crowd. The sarcastic part, verse 15, it says, then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. And so he seems to go along with the crowd, but then in the next sentence you see, I think the way he said it or something, the king knew that he wasn't being truthful, because it says, so the king said to him, verse 16, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And so he has to be sort of rebuked by the king because he was going along with the crowd. And then number 3, the beginning of truth, hinting that the king Ahab will die. Verse 17, he says, then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. Meaning, Israel scattered as sheep with no shepherd. Ahab was their shepherd. He was the king. And he's saying, I saw Israel scattered as sheep with no shepherd. The Lord said, these have no master, meaning no king. Let each return to his house in peace. So they were going to war. They were fighting for Ahab, according to this prophecy of Micaiah, and they would go out, but the king won't be with them. Why? Because he gets killed in the battle. And that's the prophecy that's first given here by Micaiah. And then the real truth and calamity for King Ahab and the exposure of the prophets is the next thing that Micaiah says. He says, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? So that one sentence that he says, he's already telling us I'm going to be dead. And he's contradicting that. Then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Now, Ahab was known as a wicked, wicked king. He had been taking Israel and making them worship false gods. His wife Jezebel was even worse than him, and she will die a dreadful death too. But here we see Micaiah telling his vision of what he saw, and he saw these gathered in heaven and an evil spirit saying, I will deceive, I will put a lying word in the mouth of the prophets. And we see this happen because there's a lying word given to these prophets, and they all want to say, Ahab will win, Ahab will win, Ahab will win. And they even want Micaiah to go along with him. And yet how bold Micaiah is to stand against the numbers. It was 400-1 against him. But he stands and he preaches the truth. And yet he knew God was on his side. Just like it says in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I think Micaiah knew that. He knew that even though he was one against 400, he was on God's side. And the calamity was going to happen to those who were on the other side. Number 11. The leader among the false prophets shows his boldness himself, defending his lie. Not only does he lie and use his imagination, but now he's going to defend it. It says, now Zedekiah, the son of Shananah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you? Here he thinks he's confident. Why? Not because God is on his side, but he has 399 other prophets on his side. He has the king on his side, Ahab. Maybe not Jehoshaphat, but he has Ahab. And he goes up and he slaps Micaiah. And it's interesting. Micaiah answers Zedekiah, verse 25. And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide. And so he's saying, here's what's really going to happen. He says, you're bold right now. You slap me. But when the Assyrian army is coming, you're not going to be out bold slapping people. When the king's out there getting killed, you're going to be hiding in your chamber. And he knows this is the case. This man acted bold for a bit, but he knows he will be hiding. And then number 12, King Ahab puts Micaiah in prison for telling the truth. It says verse 26 and 27, so the king of Israel said, Micaiah, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and the water of affliction until I come in peace. And so basically he has Micaiah locked away, and yet in prison, or with the threat of it, it does not silence Micaiah. Micaiah in verse 28 said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. And so he warns not only Ahab, but he warns all of them who are following Ahab. Now this is what was said before the war. The next parts are the war themselves. And King Ahab, even though supposedly he doesn't believe Micaiah, he makes an extra effort to hide himself during the war. And so here's what we read in verses 29 through 33. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, saying, fight with no one, small or great, but only with the king of Israel. So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, because he's dressed in his royal robes, that they said, surely it's the king of Israel. Therefore they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. And so here's Jehoshaphat all dressed up like a king, and he's the only one in the battle that's dressed that way because Ahab has disguised himself. And so they all go after Jehoshaphat because it was only the king that they were fighting against. I think they kind of knew that Israel didn't really want this fight. Only one person did. And so they go, and Jehoshaphat becomes the target. And yet immediately they recognize him. They know the difference. And they stop fighting against Jehoshaphat. Number 14, no one can hide from God. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. The battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians, and he died at evening. The blood ran out from the wound onto the floor of the chariot. Then as the sun was going down, a shout went throughout the army saying, every man to his city, and every man to his own country, just as Micaiah had said, they would all scatter away. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Then someone washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood while the harlots bathed, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, the ivory house which he built and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? I'm on 1 Kings, but he's referring also to Chronicles. So Ahab rested with his father. Then Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. You see here, there's no way. If God wants to judge you, he's going to find you. This archer just decided he's going to shoot everywhere because nobody's aiming at the king. They didn't know who he was. And so he takes a bow and shoots it at random. And that random shot goes through the chinks in Ahab's armor, guided there by God, because God was going to find him out. And it's interesting, at the end of chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, it says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid himself in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for that great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? In the last day, there will be people who are trying to hide from God and hide from the wrath of the Lamb when Jesus comes back. And they'll call for mountains to fall on them, but they won't be able to hide from God's wrath. And so we see here, a random shot hits the mark. The danger for Ahab was not so much the enemy army, but the God whom he disobeyed. And the dogs licking up Ahab's blood. Micaiah was not the only prophet that spoke against Ahab. 1 Kings 21, 20 through 26 says, so Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your posterity, and I will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, another wicked king, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord spoke, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. But there was no one like Ahab, who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And so he was powerful as a king, and powerful over men, and he was wicked as a king. But he had prophets speaking against him, and they predicted that he would have his blood licked up by dogs. Application 1, the majority is not always right, but God is. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The narrow way here was Micaiah's way, and he was one against 400. The 400 thought that we were the majority, we have to be right. But they were wrong, and the narrow way is always the godly way. Don't listen to the ungodly, immoral preachers who speak peace and prosperity to the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. Isaiah 48, 22 and Isaiah 57, 21 both say basically the same thing. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. These prophets who spoke peace to Ahab when he was a wicked, wicked king. We know whoever speaks peace to wicked people is always wrong. If somebody is sinning and sinning and sinning and it's obvious, and then it's obvious where they're going. They're going to hell. And the only way we can speak to them, even lovingly, is you need to turn around. You need to stop your sinning. You need to repent and come to Christ. The peace when there is no peace is a popular but wrong and destructive message. Jeremiah 6:14 says, they have healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. There was no peace for sure for Ahab. And the only one that spoke truth to him was Micaiah. And he should have listened to Micaiah. He should have heard the one prophet. If he would have listened to Micaiah and repented, who knows, he could have. He might be in heaven right now rather than in hell. But I think for sure, from all we know from Scripture, Ahab is in hell. We don't read much about, number three, we don't read much about Micaiah and other passages of Scripture. The name Micaiah is used in other places. It means who is like the Lord, which is really a great name. Who is like the Lord? There's nobody like the Lord. And so other men are called Micaiah in Scripture, Micaiah. But it seems this is the only place, along with the parallel passage that tells the same story, that talks about Micaiah or Micaiah. And so we don't know what happened to Micaiah, I don't think. He was in prison. Was he released afterwards? Well, Ahab's wicked son reigned in his place. So I'm thinking that, you know, here Micaiah has prophesied his father's death. And his father's last order in life was to put Micaiah in prison with no yummy food, but only the bad food to eat. And so if it continued that way, Micaiah probably died in prison or was executed, but we don't know, we're not told. Obviously, the good true story about Micaiah is told, so somebody knew Micaiah did what was right. Obviously, God knew that, and the story is told in a way that honors Micaiah for what he did. But we read, like in Hebrews, that many of the prophets died and were killed. And Micaiah, you know, is very likely to be one of them for his faith. What's that? Yeah, John the Baptist was beheaded. And so he fits in this same class. And so we don't know that for sure. Maybe a better end for him in this life. But what I believe we know for sure Micaiah is in heaven. And he's there now for eternity and for several, very good, a few thousand years. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for Micaiah. And we thank you for the message that he had where he spoke the truth even to power, when he spoke the truth to an evil man. And when even he spoke this truth, even though there were 400 with a lying spirit leading their voices. And so, Father, we pray that we would be those people also like Micaiah that are on the side of truth and not of error. Help us to be bold. Help us to be strong. Help us to embrace rather than shun the truth, even when it's not popular. And, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.